and thirsting for more of the things of God will be filled. Let's take that as the promise that it is. It is. I know it's one of the Beatitudes, but it's really a promise that those that are hungering and thirsting after the things of God are going to be satisfied. They're going to be filled. You know, hunger is a great motivator, isn't it? Hunger is a great motivator. I know that most of us, we don't really know much about physical hunger. Unless you've fasted for some extended period of time, you've probably never really knew what hunger was like. Unless you're a person that spent time really fasting and seeking the Lord. They say that you can get people and nations to just do about anything if they're motivated and if they're hungry. In North Korea, which is one of the darkest nations in the world, almost everybody in that nation goes to bed hungry every night. Almost everyone. And some of them, by the thousands and thousands every year, there are North Koreans who literally starve to death because of that entire regime and the problems that are there in that nation. But there was a few years ago that there was a period of about 3 years when, because of flooding and they depend upon outside nations to bring in certain food supplies that they need. But for some reason, there was a period of about 3 years when the food supplies were cut way down. And then there was the weather and flooding that ruined a lot of the crops. And so during that three-year period, North Korea, there were literally thousands and thousands of people. Maybe as many as between 2.5 and 3 million people who starved to death during that three-year period. And they became so desperate that it was during that time they knew that to try to escape from North Korea was sure death. But they were so hungry that they were willing to try it. And so many, many thousands of them attempted to escape North Korea. Most of them were caught. Most of them were executed for trying to defect from North Korea. But there were more that got out than has ever escaped from North Korea. And that's why we know the stories of the starvation and all the things that they have gone through because of so many that during that period, they got so desperate that they were willing to do whatever they had to do to try to get some food, even risking their lives. You know, there is a famine in our world. There's a famine in our land. It's not a famine for natural food or for the things that of physical means. But the famine in our land is for spiritual things. As it says in Amos 8 and 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." That is the famine that we're faced with right now in our nation. And there's no satisfaction in anything that this world has to offer. The entire book of Ecclesiastes is the man Solomon writing about, I have accumulated everything that the world has to offer. Let me read to you here what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth the trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments that are of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained in me. When you read on down in that chapter, he talks about the emptiness, the vanity of vanities, that even though he had all of those possessions, anything that he could ever desire, everything and more than anyone before him in all of Jerusalem, he had so many pleasures and so many possessions and all of these things of the world, but he came up empty. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes, the entire message of Solomon is, that it's all emptiness, it's all waste, it's all vanity of vanities, because we know that the things of this world cannot satisfy the thing that you are desiring deep down in your heart. So many people that God is dealing with them and speaking to them, and some of them he's speaking to them through the emptiness. You know, a new truck won't do it, and a new house won't do it, and a bigger bank account won't do it, and nice clothes won't do it, and all these things, trying these vacations and trying all, none of it satisfies. There's just an emptiness to the ways of this world. But those that hunger and thirst after the things of God will be filled. They'll be satisfied. Their heart will be satisfied. I just pray that the hunger that has been stirred up in the hearts of people over these last few days will never go away, but that you'll continue to seek after the things of God and be hungry for the things of God and not allow anything of the world to tempt you, because it's all passing away. It's all, as Solomon said, vanity of vanities. It's waste. It's emptiness. It can't satisfy, and it will not satisfy. Only Jesus, only the knowledge of the things of God, only being filled with the goodness of God, the Spirit of God in your life, that's the only thing that's ever going to satisfy. And I want you to know that your hunger for the things of God should motivate you to pursue it. It should motivate you to get after it. Amen. Get into the Word of God. Amen. Revival's over as far as those extended services are concerned. But every day of your life, you can still spend time with the Word of God. You can still spend time in the presence of God. You can still listen to God's Word, listen to messages and sermons. You can fill up your heart and your mind. All the things of this world are not going to satisfy. They're going to leave you feeling so hopeless and so empty. But Jesus can satisfy. Amen. Blessed are the hungry. Those that are hungering for the things of God and will never, ever turn away from it. The book of 2 Kings chapter 6 is the account of the city of Samaria. But 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24 talks about the fact that there was a king by the name of Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that came up against Samaria and besieged it. This was the practice of a conquering army against a walled city. They couldn't get through the walls. They couldn't penetrate the walls. And so they would besiege it. They would surround it, and all around the city. And sometimes they would besiege a city. It would take weeks, months, before finally those inside the walls of the city would say, if we stay in here, we're going to starve to death. We're going to have to give up and surrender. And so this army of Ben-Hadad comes up against Samaria and besieges it, surrounds it, so that no supplies can go in. So all the supplies that are inside of the walled city, they soon get depleted. And here they are starving. That's exactly what happened when you read this account in 2 Kings chapter 6. That's what happened. It got so bad that they were selling the head of a donkey. The head of a donkey was sold for 10 pieces of silver. And a cup of dung, the waste from a dove, was sold for 2 pieces of silver. You talk about desperation. They were so hungry that they would do anything and eat anything because they were so hungry and so desperate for physical, natural food. And then another account was the king, there was a woman that comes to him and makes an appeal to him for help. And I'm just paraphrasing this, but he basically just says, how can I help you? I can't help you. Everybody's starving in the city. How can I help you? And the woman says, well, you can help me. You can. And she made this appeal. She said, I made a bargain with this lady. I said, if we'll boil my child and eat him today, then tomorrow we'll boil your child and eat him. Now that is desperation. And she said, so we ate my child today, and now she's hiding her son today and not keeping her end of the bargain. And the king rent his clothes because he recognized the horrible desperation that hunger had got them to. Let me tell you, hunger will motivate you. Hunger will motivate you. But there's also 4 men who are lepers that are sitting outside the walls of the city. And they begin to realize, we're starving to death. We're outside the walls of the city. We can't go in. We can't go in because we're lepers, for one thing. But it wouldn't do any good if we did go in because there's no food or any supplies inside the walls of the city. And so they said, why sit we here till we die? Let's move out and let's go out to the Syrians who have the city besieged. And the worst that can happen to us is we're going to die. And if we sit here, we're going to die. If we try to go into the city, we're going to die. So let's do what we can do. Let's at least move. And they began that march toward the camp of the Syrians. Now, you can believe it how you want to, because the Bible says that God had caused them in the camp of the Syrians to hear the sound of armies and wagons and infantry coming against them. God had made them to hear the sound. Now, I would just say that maybe it was those 4 weak, sick lepers who were starving to death, marching, and every step they took of faith, God turned that step into the sound of a marching army. Every step that they moved forward, their hunger was motivating them, and they were desperate, like those North Koreans were hungry and desperate. They were hungry and saying, if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, we're going to die. If we go out to the camp of the Syrians, maybe they'll have mercy on us and let us have something to eat. It was a very slim chance that that was going to ever happen. But they marched out in faith, moving toward the camp of the Syrians. And when they finally get there, God has caused fear to grip the hearts of the armies of all of those Syrians, and they have run for their life. Later on, when they told the king, and he sent troops out to see if this is really happening. Have they really fled? And all along the roadway where they had fled, they had thrown their coats and their garments and their possessions. They had thrown them all aside because they were afraid and running for their life, and they didn't want anything to hold them back. And they gathered up the supplies. Now those 4 lepers, they're a wonderful picture of you and me in our desperation. They're a wonderful picture of the people of God who get hungry for God, that you're willing to do whatever you have to do. You won't just spend 10 minutes in the altar. You'll spend 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or an hour seeking the Lord because you are hungry for God. You're hungry for the things of God. You're hungry to be filled with the Spirit of God. And may that hunger grow. Amen. That even though the revival with Brother Martin is closed, that hunger would grow in the hearts of every one of us here, that we would not allow anything to distract us from our hunger for the things of God. Amen. So the Bible says those four lepers, when they got to the camp and it was completely empty, they go into the first tent and they eat and they drink to their heart's desire. They begin to collect up all these supplies. They decide, well, we've got so much here, we're gonna take it and hide it and bury it. But then they got to feeling bad for all of those starving in the city. And they sent the message back to the city of what had happened. The king couldn't hardly believe his ears. Is this really true? Is this really possible? That's why he sends out that little band of soldiers to really check it out and see if it was really true. They come back and give him a report. What these leprous men have said is true. The entire camp of the Syrians is empty. All of their food, all of their wealth, all their possessions, all of it is for the taking. Amen. And it was the desperately hungry that brought hope to the city of Samaria. Amen. It was those that became so desperately hungry that they went out and took the risk. Amen. I just believe that God has stirred our hearts over these last few days of revival, stirred our hearts to the place that now we're hungry. Lord, we want more. Lord, we need more. And all these different ones who visited the meeting, and we had a lot of visitors who have come and a part of this that somehow there's something stirred up in their hearts and they'll come back Sunday morning and they'll come back Sunday night hungering and thirsting because the things of the world never will satisfy the desires of their heart. It's all emptiness. It's all vanity. There's nothing out there in the world that can satisfy the longing and the desire of our heart. Are you hungry? Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. That is the promise of God's word. If you'll hunger, you'll be satisfied. If you'll just keep pursuing, keep on seeking, keep on pressing, keep on praying, God will move in your behalf. Amen. So let your spiritual hunger be the motivator. Let it motivate you. Brother Burkett put out a little booklet years ago called The Dog and the Dove. He tells the story of a man that has a dog that grows up to be fierce and rules the house. And then he has someone gifts him with a dove in a cage. And every time that he tries to feed the dove or spend time with the dove, the dog is angry and the dog attacks the dove. And there's nothing the man can do about the dog. He's ruling the house. And finally it dawns on him. What I'm going to have to do is starve the dog. I know that's not politically correct. But the analogy is that dog is a great picture of the flesh and the dove of the spirit. Amen. So for days and for weeks, he quit feeding the dog and he just kept feeding the dove. Feeding the dove. The dove is healthy now. The dove has got over the attacks of the dog. And the dog is getting weaker and weaker. So weak to where finally he has no more fight in him. And he's able to pick up the dog and slide him outside the door and shut the door. It's a wonderful picture of the flesh and the spirit. Amen. You want a spiritual hunger? Then you starve the flesh. You starve the flesh and you feed the spirit. Don't allow the things of the world to captivate your affection and your heart. but starve the flesh and feed the spirit. Spend time with the Lord, with the Word of God. Feed the dove. Strengthen the things of the Spirit in your life, and you'll get a greater hunger and a longing for the things of God as we get hungry and more hungry. And there's no greater motivator than a spiritual hunger, a desire for the things of God. Many of you have witnessed over the years some new Christian get saved, and they put everybody else to shame because, I mean, they want to sit on the front seat. They want to be in every service. They're the longest in the altars because they are hungry for the things of God. Amen. And may that hunger return to every one of us. We have this desire for more of the things of God. Blessed are the hungry. They shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. And don't allow anything of the world to distract you from the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are dealing with us and doing a work among your people. And we thank you for that. We just pray, Lord, that you administer, Lord. Lord, and all of these that have been around the altars over this last week of revival, Lord, that they would continue to pursue the things of the Spirit. They would continue desire and hunger, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit, and the things of God would become the priority of all of our lives, Lord, and we would not allow anything to distract us from it, Lord, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, minister, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand together?